Tonight, outrage over a vulgar attack on Ivanka Trump.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
Comedian Samantha Bee apologizing, the White House condemning the show. Is there a double standard after Roseanne's now infamous firing? A summit cliffhanger, Kim Jong-un's right-hand man comes to the U.S. with a secret message for President Trump. The president's new trade war with some of our closest allies could have a big effect on the price you pay for many of the things you buy. NBC News exclusive, Bill Cosby's accuser, the woman whose case is sending him to prison, breaks her silence about that attack.
I was crying out inside in my throat, in my mind, for this to stop, and I couldn't do anything.
Is the president about to use his pardon power on a pair of famous Apprentice alums? His new comments after pardoning a conservative provocateur today.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, I'm Savannah Guthrie, and for Lester, tonight the culture war, as in what goes in our culture and what doesn't. 2 days after the comedian Roseanne was fired for her racist tweet, a left-leaning cable comedian, Samantha Bee, is under fire and apologizing for a vulgar and brutal attack on the president's daughter and senior advisor, Ivanka Trump. Should she lose her show? And if not, just where exactly is the line? NBC's Ann Thompson starts us off.
Tonight, comedian Samantha Bee under fire. She still has a show, while Roseanne Barr does not, raising the question, is there a double standard in the media when it comes to slurs? On her TBS program Full Frontal last night, Bee used a vulgar word to describe presidential advisor and daughter Ivanka Trump.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***. He listens to you.
In the wake of Barr's racist tweet, which got her fired, conservative critics pounced, including White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, who called Bee's language vile and vicious and not fit for broadcast. Liberal women took offense, too, Chelsea Clinton saying it is grossly inappropriate and just flat out wrong to talk about Trump or any woman that way. This afternoon, Bee apologized to Ivanka Trump. It was inappropriate and inexcusable. I crossed a line and I deeply regret it. And TBS, which ran the pre-recorded show, said, those words should not have been aired. It was our mistake, too, and we regret it. But it did not cancel Bee's show, as ABC did with Barr's.
Samantha Bee has a job tonight, and Roseanne Barr does not have a job tonight, because Roseanne Barr has shown over the years an incorrigibility with respect to these offensive statements, and Samantha Bee, quite frankly, has not.
Tonight, Barr asked not to be compared with others who have said horrible things. I only care about apologizing for the hurt I have unwittingly and stupidly caused, igniting a debate about what slurs deserve more than just condemnation.
Savannah, while Samantha Bee may still have a show tonight, she is losing sponsors. Both Auto Trader and State Farm Insurance have suspended their advertising on her show. Auto Trader is saying her comments were offensive and unacceptable.
All right, Ann, thank you very much. And now to that new summit suspense, is it on or off? Kim Jong-un's former spy chief and right-hand man is here in the U.S. for a flurry of critical meetings, and that's not all. He's come with a secret message in hand to deliver to President Trump from the North Korean dictator himself. Our chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell, now with all the late developments.
High-stakes meetings in a New York high-rise. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo face-to-face with Kim Jong-un's right-hand man and former spy chief, now about to go to the White House bringing a letter from the North Korean leader.
A letter is going to be delivered to me from Kim Jong-un, so I look forward to seeing what's in the letter, but it's very important to them.
A frantic dash on three fronts toward a likely June 12th summit. Here in New York with U.S. diplomats at the DMZ and a third American team in Singapore. Tonight, Pompeo saying they're making real progress.
Our two countries face a pivotal moment in our relationship in which it could be nothing short of tragic to let this opportunity go to waste.
So who is Kim Jong-un's point man? Seen at last week's meeting between North and South, sitting behind Ivanka Trump at the Winter Olympics. Kim Jong-chul has been an enemy of the U.S. for decades, ordering the 2014 hack of Sony Pictures for a film ridiculing the ruling Kim dynasty.
Remember, Kim Jong-un is a master manipulator.
Sanctioned for exporting weapons, requiring special permission even to enter the U.S. Now North Korea's top negotiator. But is the North ready to give up its vast nuclear program, thousands of workers, hundreds of sites, in exchange for a huge economic lifeline from the West? The president now suggesting it could take more than one meeting.
That's going along very well, but I want it to be meaningful. It doesn't mean it gets all done at one meeting. Maybe you have to have a second or a third, and maybe we'll have none.
And nuclear experts say that it could take 15 years to disarm North Korea. Will the summit take place? Tonight, a senior U.S. official telling NBC News, we need to be confident we're not sending the president into a buzzsaw. But all signs are they are planning to risk it, Savannah.
All right, Andrea, we shall see. Thank you. And just as the president tries to make peace with North Korea, what's shaping up to be a trade war, as the White House slapped massive tariffs on several nations today, and it could mean the price of many, many things you buy is about to go up. Our White House correspondent, Kristen Welker, has the dollars and cents.
Tonight, triggering a trade war. The U.S. announcing harsh new taxes on steel and aluminum imports. Now, the retaliation from some of America's closest allies already underway. Mexico vowing to slap fees on American pork, fruit, and steel. Europe threatening new tariffs on everything from whiskey and motorcycles to denim and cigarettes. Canada's prime minister promising a dollar-for-dollar response and calling the U.S. move an affront.
And in particular, an affront to the thousands of Canadians who have fought and died alongside their American brothers in arms.
And now, U.S. consumers and businesses bracing for impact.
It could lead to higher prices on everything from beer to automobiles, and that could mean job cuts at some companies.
Brent Bible is a soybean and corn farmer in Indiana whose products are sold in all of the targeted countries. Bible supports the president, but not this latest move.
The farmer is being drafted as a soldier in this trade war. We're not really being given any weapon to use on the front line, and we're very vulnerable at this point to price fluctuations.
Stocks dropped on the news, which comes after the Trump administration failed to reach trade deals with those key allies. The White House wants less imported steel and aluminum and more of those products made at home, arguing American-made materials are critical to national security.
Are you sparking a trade war with these new tariffs?
No, I think the president's protecting American aluminum and steel.
For the president, it's a campaign promise kept, tweeting late today, fair trade. But many in his own party are critical. House Speaker Paul Ryan saying today's action targets America's allies when we should be working with them. Senator Ben Sasse simply called it dumb. Savannah.
Kristen Welker at a rainy White House tonight. Thank you. Will President Trump use the powers of his office to pardon Martha Stewart? The president floating that idea today, along with possibly commuting the sentence for convicted former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. This after he announced another pardon for a controversial conservative pundit who pleaded guilty to making an illegal campaign contribution. NBC's Peter Alexander with the story.
The president today considering clemency for a pair of celebrities. Martha Stewart, prosecuted by James Comey in 2004, convicted of obstructing justice and lying to federal investigators. And disgraced Illinois Governor Democrat Rod Blagojevich, found guilty of corruption in 2011. President Trump arguing both celebs with ties to The Apprentice were treated unfairly. On Stewart highlighting how she used to be my biggest fan. And insisting Blagojevich said something stupid that many other politicians say. It comes after his latest controversial pardon, this one for conservative firebrand Dinesh D'Souza, known for his inflammatory comments. D'Souza in 2015 posting this photo of President Obama appearing to take a picture with a selfie stick, writing, "You can take the boy out of the ghetto." The writer and filmmaker pleading guilty in 2014 to campaign finance fraud, later complaining he was targeted by the Obama administration for his conservative views, even though the judge found no evidence of that. Mr. Trump today tweeting, "He was treated very unfairly by our government."
What my case shows in miniature is the way that Obama and Hillary, too, have gangsterized the U.S. politics.
So is the president sending a signal to his allies wrapped up in the Russia investigation?
No, not each of the president's actions on pardons or on other things should be judged on the merits.
Still, there is a pattern.
President Trump has abandoned the vetting process that his predecessors have used to ensure that the pardon process isn't used just for political purposes.
For President Trump, star power and a potentially partisan push. Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
Now to the manhunt for a cop killer. Police in Tennessee frantically searching for the man they say gunned down a fellow officer.
The search is now in its second day. Neighborhoods being warned there's a murderer on the loose. And NBC's Tammy Leitner has the story. But,
when I got to the scene, I knew then it wasn't okay. It wasn't good.
One of their own dead, sparking a statewide manhunt for this man, 31-year-old Stephen Wiggins, wanted in connection with the murder of Sergeant Daniel Baker.
Stephen Wiggins can be anywhere. We don't know where he is.
The search now stretching into day two, complicated by Tennessee's dense woods and muddy terrain.
911, where's your emergency?
Dixon County's 911 director tells NBC News Wiggins killed Sergeant Baker and then stole his gun and vehicle.
Do you guys have any reason to believe that the suspect was monitoring your own police traffic from the car he had stolen?
Everything we were saying on that radio channel was probably being heard by the suspect.
That's when Wiggins reportedly ditched the car and his girlfriend, Erica Castro Miles, who police say was an accomplice. Castro Miles was later found hiding under a home and charged with first-degree murder. The manhunt continues for Wiggins, with police warning the community he's armed and dangerous. As this close-knit town mourns the loss of an officer, a military hero, a friend, and a family man.
He was proud to be a father. He really was.
Police have received hundreds of tips that have taken them all over the state and out of state, but so far, none of those tips have led them to Stephen Wiggins. And tonight, the reward has been increased to $35,000. Savannah?
All right, Tammy Leitner, thank you. There is a severe weather threat tonight across six states, from North Carolina to Maryland. Some 14 million people under flash flood watches tonight. In Virginia, one person has been found dead. Another is still missing after their car was swept away. First responders carrying out a number of swift water rescues there today. And in North Carolina, two people were killed when a mudslide hit a house and triggered a gas explosion. Now to a disturbing trend as we approach the 2018 midterms, a surge in candidates running for office with white nationalist messages. At least eight have been identified by an organization that monitors hate groups. It's more than any other election in modern history. NBC's Morgan Radford traveled across the country to talk with some of these candidates about why they believe they can win on a platform of prejudice.
Hi, my name's Art Jones.
Arthur Jones is running for Congress in Chicago's 3rd District.
Do you think you have a shot at winning?
Listen, I wouldn't be in this if I didn't think I could win.
He's also one of at least eight white nationalists running for state or federal office this year, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I consider myself a white racialist.
Jones was a member of the American Nazi Party who denies the Holocaust ever happened.
6 million Jews. Ridiculous.
He's also campaigning to keep Chicago's neighborhoods 90% white.
I think most white people want a white neighborhood.
Do you think that black people are genetically inferior?
The average IQ of a black person is about 20 points lower than the average IQ of a white person.
I went to Harvard.
All right. And you've got a lot of white blood in you, too.
Some white blood. I'm African-American.
Well, that's where your intelligence is coming from, I think.
You think it comes from my white side?
I think so.
20,000 people voted for Jones in the March primary. He ran uncontested, and now he'll be on the Republican ticket in November. Anti-hate groups say the number of white nationalists running for office this year is higher than ever before, including candidates like Patrick Little.
This monstrous nature of the Jewish people must be known to the public.
You think Jews are monsters?
As a group, they are definitely behaving as a monster, 100%.
Little is running against Senator Dianne Feinstein in California and blames Jews for America's problems.
A foreign power that has committed terrorist attacks against this country.
He claims President Trump is speaking to people like him.
He dog whistled about globalists. I didn't understand he was talking about Jews until after the election.
But the state and national Republican Party say they want nothing to do with him or Jones.
It should be a wake-up call. If these types of candidates are going to come out from under the rock, they need to be repudiated at the ballot box.
We're a nation of communists.
But their supporters say they're not going anywhere.
It's not because we're racist. It's because we feel marginalized, and we're the ones who are being oppressed.
Now they're gearing up for a battle.
Put America first.
On the ballot. Morgan Radford, NBC News.
Still ahead, an NBC News exclusive, the first interview with the lead accuser in the Bill Cosby trial, breaking her silence about the night the disgraced comedian sexually assaulted her. Back now with our NBC News exclusive. For the very first time, the lead accuser in the Bill Cosby trial is breaking her silence. Andrea Constand is now speaking out about the night she says Cosby sexually assaulted her and reveals why she was so wary at first to go to the authorities. Constand, her mother, also spoke with NBC senior national correspondent Kate Snow.
For 13 years, Andrea Constand has not talked publicly about the night Bill Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her. In 2004, Cosby, who was giving Andrea career advice, invited her to his home. It was on that visit that he handed her three pills. Within minutes, she says, she could no longer walk. Cosby helped her to a couch and then assaulted her.
What is your mind saying?
My mind is saying, move your hands, kick, can you do anything? I don't want this. Why is this person doing this? And me not being able to react in any specific way. So I was limp. I was a limp noodle.
The story still upsets her mother, Gianna.
Did he say anything?
No. No, he said nothing that I could recall. I was in and out of consciousness.
And you don't remember being able to speak?
Inside, I was crying out inside in my throat, in my mind, for this to stop, and I couldn't do anything.
Did you tell anybody else about what had happened at the time?
I did not.
Why not?
I didn't think anybody would believe me. It was Bill Cosby. It was Dr. Huxtable. I thought I was the only person that he did this to. Who's going to believe me?
Ultimately, she did end up telling authorities, Savannah, and became the lead witness in the trial convicting Cosby. In court, his defense team insisted he never assaulted her and plans to appeal. And Savannah, Andrea told me that she went through all of this because once she learned that there were other women, she felt that she had to stand up for all of them.
Incredible to hear from her after all this time, Kate. Thank you so much. And you can see more of Kate's exclusive interview on a special edition of Dateline. That's tomorrow night, 10, 9 Central. Coming up, an emotional tribute to a fallen hero and the newborn daughter he never got a chance to meet. And now, a wild goose chase on the field at last night's Tigers-Angels game. The grounds crew tried to chase the bird off, but just when it looked like it was flying away, it smacked into a scoreboard and landed in the stands. Fortunately, the bird is okay and was later released outside the park. And a really touching tribute to a fallen American hero. A photo has gone viral. It shows the newborn daughter of Army Specialist Chris Harris cradled by his fellow soldiers. Harris was killed in Afghanistan last year, just 1 week after he learned he was going to be a father. Harris's wife invited his comrades to join into a special photo shoot in his honor. That's nightly news for Thursday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning on Today. For all of us at NBC News, thanks so much for watching and have a great night.